From the American Tobacco Historic District, this is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. It's been a busy year for North Carolina's airports. Airlines are coming, airlines are going, renovation projects well underway. And after struggling in the aftermath of 9/11, the airline industry seems to be getting healthy again. But the gains have been uneven, and our travel patterns are different than they were before 2001. Today we're talking about what's changed in the way we travel, why our growing economy doesn't necessarily mean the good old days are back for airlines, and what it all means for you when you head for the terminals. With us in the studio today is Ted Allman. Ted is the Special Projects Manager for the Division of Aviation at North Carolina's Department of Transportation. Ted, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Frank. It's a great honor and privilege to be here with you.
We're also taking phone calls today, 877-962-9862. How do you decide which airport to fly out of and which airline to book? Does it come down to price, parking? Are there other amenities at airports that make a difference in how you choose? 877-962-9862 is the number to call. Ted, air travel numbers took a dive, as we know, after 9/11. But now, for the first time in 5 years, it looks like the passenger numbers are up. Can you document that in any way, and why are people traveling again?
Yes, Frank. Things have changed. After 2001, 9/11 specifically, there was almost a drop of approximately 1 million in plane passengers. Those are passengers getting on aircraft at all airports in North Carolina with scheduled airline service.
That's 1 million just in North Carolina.
Just in North Carolina. And what we've seen now, if I may use RDU as an example, Raleigh-Durham International, Teresa Damiano, director of marketing at RDU, was kind enough to share a number that actually won't be out until this afternoon, so we're saying it here first on The State of Things. But Raleigh-Durham, for calendar year 2005, had 4,654,585 passengers. That is almost at the level of calendar year 2000, which was a high point. That's when Midway was still here, pre-9/11, and that was 5.2 million. So they're very, very close.
Getting very close. Who's traveling? What's going on? Why are we traveling again?
I think that we're starting to see a relaxation among the American traveling public. The business traveler, I think, was always there out of necessity, but those who had taken to the road or sought other alternative modes are now returning to air carrier service or airline service, scheduled service. And we're seeing TSA getting their act together a lot better. The long delays, unfortunately, you get a Thanksgiving weekend. It's like a highway. Yeah. You're just going to put too many people in too small a space to fit through so many lines. So you will have delays then. But under regular circumstances, the Department of Homeland Security has really sharpened the pencil point and know exactly what they're doing and how to do it.
So people are feeling safer. The lines are moving more quickly. We're getting more business and pleasure travelers. And then we see a lot of activity going on in North Carolina in the airports. Some airlines, of course, coming and going, but there's new construction and new development all over the state. Tell us about what's happening with the airports.
Well, we're starting to see more and more requirements for expansion of gates at airports. Requests are coming in. Again, airports run slightly different than the highways. People tend to think of airports in terms of highways, where the government owns the road. We do not. It is the local sponsor. And if I could use again RDU as an example, the Raleigh-Durham Airport Authority is the sponsor and owner of the Raleigh-Durham Airport, not the NCDOT and or any other organ of state or federal government. So what we're seeing is RDU is actually approaching, it's a good thing to be, but it's still a problem, capacity constraints. They're almost at seat capacity. That means for the number of individuals seeking seats on the various scheduled airlines that serve RDU, they're rapidly approaching that saturation point. Teresa went on to say that the average load capacity for all carriers as of 2005 was somewhere in the neighborhood of 75% to 77%. There are many airports across this country that would be very grateful to be able to brag like that.
Well, there are already changes going on at RDU. Are they in response to earlier growth projections? In other words, are they already obsolete? Are they going to have to start again?
It's a very good point. And unfortunately, I really couldn't answer that question, but I will say that Raleigh-Durham Airport Authority has been very, very progressive and tried to stay ahead of the so-called power curve. But that becomes more and more difficult. There's a tremendous influx. Our population is growing by leaps and bounds. And on other shows that you've had, you've touched on the situation with the school system as an indication of you know, a barometer, so to
right.
speak, of how we are growing and how rapidly. And what we're looking for is, you know, some way to expand the airline frequency. And this, of course, is up to the airlines. Frequency being how often they fly, increasing the number, the type of equipment, larger capacity aircraft, also new routes that they would have, you know, markets that are more in demand.
Well, at the same time, we're seeing this sort of growth in not only the number of passengers, but capacity at airports. We're also seeing airlines drop out of the picture and also change the kind of aircraft that are flying in and out. Is this changing airport design at all?
Well, to a degree it is. Of course, you know, everybody's attention was focused on Airbus's announcement of the A380, which is a 1,000, I believe, in maximum seating configuration, 1,000 passengers. That puts burdens on airports that heretofore were unknown. You have to strengthen pavements. I mean, there are a lot of infrastructure changes that have to take place. How do you handle aircraft like that? People need to realize that it's not the moving aircraft. It's the aircraft that's sitting there waiting to be loaded and fueled that gains more and more weight. And it creates a tremendous amount of pressure on the pavement. Therefore, you know, that infrastructure has to be changed to accommodate this. The gates, double-decker type exits. Yeah. And
conversely, we see airlines moving to smaller planes so yes. that they can get different routes, fly more efficiently to places, and then fill their planes with fewer people.
Excellent point. And what we're seeing is a new generation of aircraft. Not to put a plug in for a manufacturer, but Embraer put out or has established a 170, which is 70 passenger jet, and a 190. And I believe that the 170 has been certificated by FAA. And
about how many passengers?
70.
70 passengers,
right.
Yeah. So, and well, this is also having impact, an impact, I would think, on some of the smaller airports around the country. Joining us and the state. Joining us now is Jerry Vickers, Airports Director for Onslow County. Onslow County's Albert J. Ellis Airport is one of the small airports in North Carolina, and it has seen a very big increase in traffic. Welcome, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Frank. It's a pleasure to be there.
One of the things we've seen that is a little bit surprising is that the big airlines are you know, in North Carolina, are moving into some of the small airports. Is that part of the trend? Do you see that?
Well, I have seen that trend as the airlines have adjusted their capacity, as you indicated, flying some more of the regional jets to replace some of the larger jet flying. The smaller airports have got a share of that as well, and I think as the mainline routes that the airlines fly, the main hubs, as they resize that capacity, it's going to become more and more important for them to get that feed into the hubs from the smaller communities.
Tell us about the growth in Onslow County and at Ellis Airport.
Well, we've experienced some really exceptional growth over the last 3 years. We've more than doubled our passenger traffic. For the last 3 years, our increase in traffic has been 35, 72, and then this past year 27% respectively. So we've had been on a tremendous growth spurt.
And what's going on? Why is that?
Well, it's a combination of things. First and foremost, to passengers, our airfares have gotten better, particularly in relationship to airfares out of Raleigh-Durham. And price is always king when passengers are checking for fares. We've also reintroduced jet service to the airport just a little over a year ago after going almost 10 years without that service, and that has made the airport very popular as well. And again, we've added additional capacity, increased the number of flights. The size of the jets have gotten a bit bigger. So when you offer more seats, you offer more choices, more opportunities for people to acquire seats at the lower fares.
And you talked about the increases at your airport. How many people do you handle in a day?
On a daily basis?
Yeah.
We average around, it's about 500, that's in and out per day. I think last year the number was about 526, I believe.
Any plans for expansion?
Well, we are looking at some expansion projects here in the coming years. We've got a couple areas of the terminal because of changes with the TSA has consumed some more space. We've got a couple of areas that we need to open up just to make it a little easier for people to get through.
All right. And tell us a little bit about the impact that your airport has on the local business community.
Well, I think it's very significant from several different perspectives. You know, airports play key roles. If you look at economic development, viable connections to the air transportation system is always in the top 5 or 10 things that a business is looking for. And, of course, your existing businesses are part of economic development and allowing them to grow. And, you know, it's more of a global economy. We also play a role in tourism. It's kind of interesting from Albert Ellis's perspective that 2/3 of the traffic that comes into our airport actually originates elsewhere. So we're a very heavy destination market. And so we play a role in national security in terms of the base at Camp Lejeune and New River having good access to the system as well.
Jerry, thanks for talking with us.
I appreciate it, and y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Jerry. Jerry Vickers, Airports Director at Onslow County. This is the State of Things. We're talking today about travel, air travel in North Carolina, taking your calls at 877-962-9862. How do you decide which airport to fly out of? Does it all come down to price, convenience? Give us a call, 877-962-9862. Just ahead, we'll take your calls and find out how the big airlines are weathering bankruptcy storms. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us. This is The State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. We're talking today about North Carolina's airports and how the health of airlines and airports affects our overall economy. With us in the studio is Ted Allman. He's a special projects manager for the Division of Aviation at the Department of Transportation in North Carolina. Joining us now is John Heimlich. He's the vice president and chief economist at the Air Transport Association. John, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Seems to be a disconnect between overall economic health for the economy in general and some airlines that don't seem to be doing quite as well. What is that a misperception? And if not, what's going on?
No, I think that's basically right, Frank. Since early 2001, we started to see a disconnect between the performance of the U.S. airline industry and the general relationship we used to have to the economy. But I think things are starting to look up for us here.
What is causing the turnaround?
Basically, it principally has to do with the revenue environment that we're able to see not only a little bit fuller planes, but people willing to pay a little bit more as well. Part of that is a function of us having tightened supply of seats out there, so there's a little bit less choice, all things considered.
And that is an adjustment that the airlines, of course, made post 9/11, so that they're finally catching up in terms of capacity and demand, is what you're saying.
I think that's right.
But just at a time when people are traveling more and maybe willing to spend a little more, gas prices go up, or your fuel prices go up.
That's absolutely right. We've been seeing steady increases in jet fuel prices ever since 2002, to the point where they've more than doubled. We've now got a situation where we're paying, in 2005, we paid an average of $72 a barrel for jet fuel. You know, that used to be something, a number we'd see in the 20s.
Right.
So we're hoping this year to shave a couple bucks off that this year, but not too sanguine. And I think if you look at what would our profitability be like excluding fuel, you'd realize how much progress the airlines have made.
At what point are the airlines going to have to pass on those costs?
Every day. I mean, last year, there's not a day when we didn't have to pass them on. The question really is our ability to pass them on economically. If we could pass all our costs through on the ticket, we'd never lose money. So by definition, we've been trying, and we've been able to have a little more success on the freight side and in international markets where the car or the train are not options across the ocean.
Ted Allman, are we starting to see here in North Carolina the effects of those higher ticket prices? Are we seeing fewer signs that the growth that you've experienced may be tapering off?
I don't think so. I tend to agree with what John is saying. You know, we have seen, unfortunately, because of Katrina and then Rita in the Gulf, we saw this tremendous spike in prices. But I think that what's going to happen is that it hopefully will level out and people have gotten back into flying, as I said before. Our numbers are indicative here, at least in North Carolina, and in particular, as I used Raleigh-Durham as an example, of almost returning to that pre-9/11 level.
The shining example, of course, in the post-9/11 era was Southwest Airlines, which has been able to turn a profit every quarter since. Have other airlines taken a cue from Southwest, or have they pioneered their own ways toward back to profitability, John?
You know, I think that every airline, big or small, low cost or full service, in one way or another, takes cues from Southwest Airlines. You know, Southwest itself has struggled a little bit, struggled maybe a strong word, but they haven't performed as well in the last couple of years as they had historically. Of course, fuel price is such a big part of that, and they had such a successful fuel hedging program that they were largely insulated. But keep in mind that a number, 19 carriers who are not one of what people call the Big Six, since 2000 have either filed Chapter 11 or gone liquidated. So carriers of all shapes and sizes, and Independence Air being the most recent example, to go by the wayside. You cannot fill half an airplane with 1988 level fares and cover $70 jet fuel. It's simply that simple.
And when we take a look at this shakeout, is it just that? Should we say that the airline industry looks unhealthy because these airlines are falling off, or is this part of the regaining health for the industry?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. People might look and say, well, there's a problem. Well, there's not necessarily a problem. It's just sort of a Darwinian phase we're going through. And there are some costs we like to get down as an industry, there's no question. But look, shakeouts occur in every business and some form of consolidation, whether it's through merger or through liquidation. One way or another, it happens. U.S. Airways America West was an example, and Independence Air was an example. And I expect we'll continue to see some of that.
Ted Ullman?
Yes, I concur 100% with what John is saying, and I think it's an evolutionary thing, and airlines have evolved, and they've reinvented themselves in many cases, and for the positive, not for the negative. But it's not something that happens instantaneously. It's a gradual process in some cases.
John, were you about to say something?
Yeah, I would like to echo Ted's statement that I mentioned it was a Darwinian phase. I think if I could even be more specific about it, I think it's another period in the era of deregulation, and that, as Ted said, the real question is the pace, not whether it's happening, but how quickly it's happening. And this was, I think, of course, Southwest, in especially in the 90s, had a lot to do with accelerating this. And I think just the sort of recession in late 00, early 01 accelerated things, then 9/11, and then the fuel price crisis. And that's why we're starting to see so much dislocation. And for the network carriers, I'll tell you, that's meant, you may not be aware of this, but 160,000 jobs lost since August 2001. And that data just runs, that DOT data runs just through, I think, October or November at this point. So we'll see some more cuts this year.
Are those in the airline industry directly?
Yeah.
And I want to.
Yes.
So then, Ted, what's the overall impact on the economy when the airlines themselves are having trouble? Does it have a big ripple effect on the local economy?
There's no question that airline service is something that is looked at by corporations who are either planning to expand their operation or start new ones. There are many benefits of having an airport in a community. Many are unfortunately overlooked when we talk about general aviation. I don't want to really go off on a tangent, but all airports have some general aviation component.
Those are the private
right.
flyers.
Everything
right?
but scheduled airline service. And when most people think of airports, they normally consider the nearest city with commercial airline service. However, general aviation airports are also very big contributors to the local economy, too. But in answer to your question directly, yes, the health of an airport as far as the level of service frequency does have, there's no question. And as John mentioned, this is one of the items, and it is a single-digit item. Years ago, and it is a while, Forbes did a study, and air transportation was one of the top 10. It was a single-digit item. Now, where it has moved up on the list.
Top 10 indicators for moving a business.
Expansion or location.
Okay. So that's what businesses take into account, or CEOs might take into account.
From what I know, North Carolina is a fabulous example. That the Charlotte area, the Raleigh-Durham area, so many businesses, and broadly using the phrase high-tech, encompassing quite a few modern industries, have chosen their locations based on the accessibility of air service. And that's both passenger movements and cargo movements.
And when you say a single-digit item, you mean somewhere in the top 10, number one through nine.
Nine or less, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go. Let's take at least one phone call. Paul is on the line from Raleigh. Hi, Paul.
How are you?
Good.
Thank you for having me on. I'll be brief because my battery is dying. But you are talking about level of service, and early in the program, Mustachio asked the question, you know, of us, of the listeners, you know, what is it that's driving your decision to fly here and there, and ours is now convenience. And every decision we make now, convenience always seems to be a key issue. And the Raleigh-Durham Airport is so much more convenient than it used to be. I go back as far as when we had to pick up our luggage outside. There was no carousel. They had this big stainless steel table, and it was all dumped out there, and you go through it and find your stuff, you know.
So
we've come a long way.
So you're talking about convenience not only in, you know, the number of minutes it takes to get to the airport, but then what your experience at the airport is.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, the convenience to the new interstate, you got the new outer loop. When you go in, you've got these fabulous parking lots, you know, it's just with the moving sidewalks, and it's almost fun.
Almost. Thanks for the call.
Keep up the good work, because once we've established a price on the ticket, the next thing is convenience.
All right. Thanks for the call, Paul. Appreciate it. It does raise the question, Ted, too, and it will be our last one, about how we design airports. We're seeing more and more that are really malls. There are local shoppers moving into, the, you know, who just come and go for the shopping. Are the plans in, or design plans, I suppose, changing because of our marketing habits?
Yes, there's no question about it. The interior of terminals have changed very, very dramatically, and it's no longer the pristine type of environment where you had a waiting area and maybe a few restrooms and an occasional coffee stop. There are now retail establishments, what we would call, I guess, brick-and-mortar type retailers who are locating. In some of the larger airports, it's absolutely incredible. You go to an Atlanta or Chicago, and you'd absolutely be amazed at what you see. And, you know, small version, of course. But yes, it is, an answer to your question, changing. Also, FAA is developing new technologies that are going to replace existing ones, which will have a definite effect, a positive effect.
Speeding passengers through.
Not only that, the ability, the capacity of an airport to handle aircraft is going to change very dramatically in the very near future.
Well, we will look forward to all of that, and I want to thank both of you for being on the program. Ted Ullman, Special Projects Manager for the Division of Aviation at the Department of Transportation in North Carolina. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
John Heimlich is the Vice President and Chief Economist at the Air Transportation Association. John, thanks for being on the program.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.